One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
All right. What's up, people that don't know me yet?
But they will.
This is my first podcast. My name is Rachel O'Brien. If you followed me on Twitter and Instagram, it looks like it's spelled Rachel No'Brien. That's my middle initial. Someone had already taken Rachel O'Brien. Whoever that is, I hate you. But I will like you if you will allow me to buy it off of you. Anywho... Yeah, it's my first podcast. I do my friend Stassi's podcast a lot. It's called Straight Up with Stassi. She's the star of Vanderpump Rules, and I am a reoccurring character on that show. But I like to joke and say I'm a background character. I'm a background actor on a reality show. That's not true. It's more just that I don't like to be involved in a lot of the drama. So I just don't. If drama happens around me, I just don't talk. Even when drama is happening to me, I don't talk. If you watch the show, you will know what I mean.
You're like Nurse Ratched.
What?
You're like Nurse Ratched.
What's Nurse Ratched? I'm not good with knowing anything about pop culture. And if this is something like cool and old school and I don't know it, then I'm really embarrassed.
Nurse Ratched from One Floor Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Now I hate myself. The fact that I didn't know that,
she's like very silent
and steady. I just lost 100 of my first followers that I don't have. God damn it.
You're like stone cold Steve Austin.
I know who that is.
There you go. You stay like chill until it's time to fucking like lay
Sometimes,
it down.
Sometimes, not always though. I did yell at someone this weekend.
Wait, I want to hear about that.
Well, I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Cool. We'll address it later.
I'll let you keep talking.
In the podcast. Anyways, I am also a stand-up comedian. That is sort of the love of my life besides my boyfriend. Sorry, John. I love stand-up more than anything, and I try to do comedy every day, and come check out a show at some point. And this will help me introduce my first guest ever on my podcast that is unnamed, Jacqueline Marfuji,
who is
also a stand-up comic, and that is how we met each other, and our friendship blossomed.
Thank you, pretty funny women.
Yeah, that's a shout-out to Lisa. That was a class we took years ago. Jacqueline and I met doing stand-up in this class, and then obviously we stopped taking classes and then just became real comics.
And real friends, Rachel O'Brien.
I don't have a lot of... I'm joking. We are real friends, and we also live like a block from each other, so yeah, basically we just hang out every day.
Yes.
It's very convenient.
It's very convenient. Yes, it is.
We hung out when you weren't walking distance, though.
Yeah, it's true.
I would run to you.
You would run to Fuller?
Yeah. There are many times where...
Oh, if we were going to go hiking, you just didn't pop over by jogging, did you?
Yeah.
God, Jacqueline is like a fitness freak.
I took two classes today.
God, I like to work out, but I can't do what she does.
Oh, no, but my favorite teacher, Ray from Crunch, who I secretly don't understand why he hasn't asked me out yet. I've been taking his class for 2 years.
Is he the mean one that I took a class with him when I was hungover?
Yeah.
Oh, he was a bully.
He is a bully. He plays like old school.
I mean, maybe
like,
not a bully. Maybe he's just a teacher that's trying to get you in shape.
Or that, you know. But it's like rude that he'd try to like cut into your hangover by making you do things.
Which I find like very rude.
Right?
It's like a bad alarm clock.
It's like you lose weight from wearing yoga pants, right?
I look worse in yoga pants, actually.
You can pull off a good, like, workout short better than anyone I know. I can't do that.
I mean, it's because I have the legs of, either a weightlifter or a marathon runner. I'm not sure. They're extremely muscular, even if I don't work out.
Yeah, marathon runner, not weightlifter. They're not, like,
I'm not
tree
giving
trunks.
Myself a compliment there. I don't enjoy them being that muscular. Anywho.
They look great, guys, in a skirt. On point.
I paid her to say that. So we met doing stand-up.
We did.
And we have been doing it together. I mean, stand-up, we'd obviously go on stage alone, but we've been doing shows together ever since.
That golf tournament we were on stage together, that wasn't really a stage. We were just
Yeah, that was weird.
That was so
event. Why were we on stage? Oh, were we auctioning off shit at that point?
We were supposed to be like telling jokes and like keeping the energy up, and then the jokes, we just started talking. We were just kind of like auctioning
off. Weird.
It was so weird.
Jacqueline and I have also both done military tours. She just got back from one. I got back from one in October. Well, listen, I got back from one in October. I was gone for like a whole month. And a week after I came back, the Paris attacks happened. And we had performed performed all over. We performed in Kosovo, Belgium, the UK, like Germany, Netherlands, all these places.
Weren't you in the Brussels airport for a lot of it,
too? Yes, I was also that, too. So we were, basically, for the tour, we would perform on military bases. That was for the most part. But we had 3 days off in Brussels, and so we decided to rent a car and drive to Paris and see it and whatever. And then one of the other comics knew about a show where it was like American speaking in Paris. And so we decided to do comedy just for fun in Paris.
Which is so fucking cool, by the way.
It was really, really fun.
And you got really good pictures out of it. You had a professional photographer there who just happened to be friends with one of you guys, right?
I don't know who was taking... No, he wasn't friends with us. He was friends with... I think he just must have been friends with one of the bookers. I don't know. But yeah, that was amazing. We got like good photos.
It's hard to take a really good photo as a stand-up.
It's the worst thing ever. We should also address that. Oh my God.
Can you tell them why it's hard though? Because Rachel is like the queen of a good selfie, like any mirror pic, like you're pretty on point.
Well, I look like a truck driving lesbian when I'm on stage. Not just because of the way I dress, but because you let your body go like loose, I guess, because you're comfortable. So it's not like you're posing or like sucking in or anything. So when someone takes a candid shot of you, it's the worst version of yourself. And usually you're on stage, so you're higher up than like the audience or anywhere else that would be taking a photo. So that's already just the worst thing ever. It's the worst angle.
It's bad. All the chins happen.
Mine's just more stalkiness. I don't know.
It's because she has perfect bone structure. I have a lot of chins and I got like chubby face going on over here. So
that's not true. Jacqueline's lying right now. But fine. I guess she doesn't look like a softball player. She just has chins. Apparently. And that's no insult to softball players. Great figures. You're athletic. I like it.
Give you a lot of credit. I broke my nose playing.
I was just hoping someone compared me to a supermodel, not a softball player. But anyway, that's not in the cards.
Paris.
Yeah. So we perform at this place. It is called Paname Cafe or something. And then we finish the tour and then we come back to America. They go back to America. But I decided to stay a week longer and meet my boyfriend back in Paris, actually. So they were all supposed to fly out of the Brussels airport like a week after the show in Paris happened. So the rest of the comics fly out of the Brussels airport, and I just so happened to have booked my train ticket to Paris like 4 hours later than I was supposed to. So I like chilled in the Brussels airport for a little bit, and then I like took a bus to the train station, like chilled there for a little bit, then took that train from Brussels to Paris that something had already happened on a couple months prior. Got to Paris, had some fun, blah, blah, blah. Come back to America with my boyfriend. A week later, the Paris attacks happen. And I get an email from my uncle, who lives in Paris and who I had dinner with there near my show. And he emails me and he says, Rachel, do you realize that you were two storefronts away from the theater, and or like in between basically like the theater and the restaurant? Damn it. My headphones just came off. Like a block away or a couple storefronts for whatever. And I said, no, I did not. That is terrifying that we missed it by a week. And also that comedy club was in a basement. So if something, they would have maybe targeted that portion of the street.
We never know.
Stuck in a basement, basically doing comedy. So that was terrifying. And then I decide to introduce my friend Jacqueline to the comedy booker to go overseas for these shows.
You know, because it's really safe and it's a good idea.
And, you know, it's a couple months later, she finds out where she's going. And it was where, Jacqueline?
You know, they decided the troops in Spain, Portugal, Egypt, Jordan, Turkey, and Germany? No, we didn't perform in Germany. We were just in that airport. Those places.
Yeah.
Needed to laugh.
Now, those places aren't known to be that safe.
It's some Middle East places, right?
Yes. Not safe. And then shortly thereafter that she gets her dates, the Brussels attack happens in the airport. Mm-hmm. And Brussels is a huge hub when you're flying, you know, to and from these like bases and these, you know, these places that you're performing. And so I call Jacqueline and I say, Jacqueline, first tell the story about how worried your parents were for you. And I totally discounted it and was like, Jacqueline, it's fine.
Well, first of all, the date I was asked to do this,
Taking
pictures of you, not of me. You look cute in your headphones.
Sure I do.
The day I was asked to do the tour officially, probably 2 hours before the Paris attacks happened.
Oh shit, really?
It was the same day. So officially when we got our,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's it. All happened that because you were getting phone calls from people being like, "You were just here."
Yeah,
like you had more shit to worry about. 2 hours before that happened, Johnny had sent me all the places we were going and was like, "This is official. Like, can you do it?" I said yes, and then 2 hours later, CNN was turned on and the attacks happened, and that's when. Oddly enough, my mom has this whole thing that she likes to do with my brother and I now, where she likes to play like reverse psychology on us.
Ooh.
So she's like so cool.
I like it, Ellen.
Right? Mm-hmm. Ellen's like learning all these like little tricks. It's great. Sure. It didn't really work though. Oh. But I was shocked. My mom, like I called her and I was like, hey, so guess what? Like I'm going on tour. Like we're going to Egypt. We were originally supposed to go to Italy. So Italy was the selling point because my family is Italian. And that's just a big deal.
Yeah.
Like I don't think they actually heard all the other places I was going.
They just heard that part?
They heard Italy.
Yeah.
And they were like, she'll be fine. Basically, my mom was like, yeah, you know what? You just got to live your life. Just like, you can't worry about all the things that are happening.
This is shocking. Coming from her. Well, her mother is less mobster feeling than the rest of the family, but they normally have very strong opinions on things.
Very strong. So I was like, really, mom? So like, you've watched the news today, like you saw all the attacks. And she's like, yeah, no, you never know what could happen. Just go on the tour. And I was like, okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then cut to like 6 months later when it became real, everyone in the family, I like woke up one morning and I had gotten 10 emails from my dad. Being like, ISIS,
oh my God.
Egypt,
oh
like,
my God.
Turkey, don't fly, red alert, no Americans. Like,
and I was like, Jacqueline, she called me like worried, like
crying.
Like crying, like my parents don't want me to go. Like now I'm worried it's going to be unsafe. And I was like, listen, Jacqueline, the government's not going to send you anywhere that's unsafe. And she's like, but you were in the place where the Paris attacks happened, like right when they happened. And then I thought, oh, shit. Yeah, I guess you're right. Like, perhaps that attack was planned perhaps maybe days prior or weeks prior, and it just so happened to work out on that day. And I was like, oh, fuck, maybe. Yeah, I guess you're right.
And then, Rachel, tell us what happened, like, a day after we had that conversation.
The Brussels airport attacks happened. And then I called her in the morning, practically crying, being like, you can't go. Bets are off. Now this is unsafe.
So basically, leading up to my tour, you know, there was that huge Brussels attack. And then we had a big family wedding like the night before I had to leave. And my parents, I had already been like, it's happening, I'm going. And they were like, fuck it. Well, we can't stop her, which is basically how my entire like high school life and college life happened with like everything. So they had accepted I was going. I'm at the family wedding. And then my brother, who did not mention a fucking word, pulls me outside.
He's the strong silent type until he's not.
Until he's not. Pulls me outside literally probably, I would say, 6 hours before I was about to get on the plane to leave. And starts crying and says, you can't go on this trip. You can't go to Egypt. You're going to get killed.
Jesus.
So I got on the flight And everything was fine. And I had a great time. And we got to perform for all these troops. I rode a camel. I climbed a pyramid. I climbed inside one. Danced on the Nile River. Like, I talked to a bunch of troops. I had a bunch of them.
You hear the best stories from the troops. I mean, you hear many sad stories, but also a lot of great stories.
Oh, my God. Really grateful stories.
Yeah, they're very grateful. When you do stand-up in L.A. or New York or anywhere, people are excited to see stand-up, but they're not grateful necessarily, which I guess I don't know why they would be, no. But the troops are so grateful when you travel to the bases that they're on and take your time to go and do that. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, well, fuck, I'm just happy you invited me. Like, why are they grateful to see me? Like, I'm excited to be here.
They literally, like, we had a general commander come up, and he looked like Michael Clark Duncan from, do you remember?
Green Mile?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Looked like him. He was wearing a huge Brooklyn shirt, and I think it was the night I had my Bronx t-shirt on.
Oh, that's cute.
So immediately, like, we connected, and he was sitting in the middle of the crowd. It was an outdoor theater in Egypt. And I didn't think that many people were going to, because it was a lot of married couples, uh-huh. And that's not really my, you know...
Your audience?
My audience. But it was that night.
That's not true.
That's not true. You're right. I connect with them. And he came up to me after the show, and he had tears in his eyes. And he was like, you have no idea how badly we needed to laugh. Thank you so much. Like, stuff like that. You're just like,
it's
wow.
Really cool.
That issue with my spray tan a week ago.
Yeah, seriously. It's like you...
Not that important.
Ugh. No, it's so... You hear, like... This guy, when we were in Germany, I'm trying to remember which base, but in Germany, he was one of the, I'm going to forget what this is actually called, but let's say like the highest type of like Marine you could be, wherever you go
Commander?
In first. No, not his rank.
You're like,
rank.
That's not a Marine.
Not his rank, but like the like SEAL team, you know,
okay.
Whatever, something like that.
Someone tell us. Someone write this to us.
Yes, I don't remember, but it was the ones that go in first. And he was probably one of the most gorgeous guys I've ever seen. He looked like a Greek god. And he was so, so sweet. And he came up to us afterwards and was like practically crying. He was complimenting us on how grateful he was that, you know, we were there doing it. And then he wanted to like hang out, which is cool. Like we wanted to hang out, obviously. And so, you know, we would hang out at the bars on the base. But we could also travel off base most of the time, unless you were in unsafe places like Kosovo or where'd you go? You couldn't do that. You couldn't leave the base.
Jordan, they were like, that's ISIS, like a few miles away. And
yeah.
Those are Syrian refugees right over there.
Yeah. You're not allowed to leave in places like
no.
that, but you can in places like Germany. So he came off base with us to a bar, and then he started telling us all these stories about, you know, what it was like to go in and like basically have just been in combat and watched your friends die.
Ugh. And just a real light conversation.
Yeah. And he then said that after that had happened, the thing they were looking forward to most though, to cheer them up, was Toby Keith was coming to perform. For their base, and they were so... No, this is... It's sad, though. Toby Keith was coming to perform for their base, and it was all they were looking forward to, and they had finished their combat mission, and they went back to the base, and they were not allowed back on the base because, I guess, the government didn't feel that they were going to be emotionally stable enough to mix with soldiers that had not gone on a mission like that. So they had to sleep outside in tents and not have real food and, like, whatever the food you would get, you know, probably, like, freeze-dried weird food.
Like Martian food.
Yeah, and they had to miss the concert they were so excited about. And they were the ones that should have been, like, fucking thrown up on stage to meet him.
Why didn't they make them leave? Oh, that's kind of like my roommate inviting her parents to sleep over and... staying in a hotel, and I stayed in the apartment with them.
Well, you know, not exactly the same, but I could see where that would be exhausting. not to make it a sad note, but you hear stuff like that where you're just like, fuck, like the...
That's not fair.
Like, yeah, that's not fair, and like they deserved more than anyone else could have possibly... I mean, I guess I'm sure people on the base have gone through a lot too, but
yeah.
That they were treated like that. Like, you just want to be like... You want to do anything you can for the troops.
You really do.
But I guess we'll stop talking about depressing shit.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Sorry, we're comics.
Just, you know, hope you learned something during that segment. We did, not to talk about depressing shit for too long on the podcast.
But we, yes. So the moral of the story is that we know each other through comedy, and yeah.
We've been through a lot. I feel like we were like little like supportive sisters through comedy.
Jacqueline was on our, if you watch Vanderpump Rules, Jacqueline was like the only clip they actually showed from our comedy show that aired on Vanderpump was Jacqueline and Kristen, because we do a show once a month. Originally, Jacqueline had started a sketch and stand-up show, and then Kristen and I wanted to be involved in a way that would work for Kristen, so it could air on the show. Like, we wanted to, like, yeah, of course, we want our comedy to air on national TV.
You want to highlight it. Yeah. You want to get it out there to the fans.
It's something that Jacqueline and I do every single day. Kristen's not a stand-up comic, but Kristen is an actor. And so we...
And has impeccable comedic timing, surprisingly.
She actually does. No, she really good. Well, I feel like even on the show, she has, like... She can say suck a dick and clear a room in a way that's actually kind of funny.
Oh, my God. Wait, did you see... what's his face? Shout out Vanderpump Rules on Saturday Night Live this weekend.
I didn't see it, but we got tweets about it.
Yeah, so it was
so
really
what was
funny.
It? You just said like he wanted his mom to
record
it?
Was like a whole Mother's Day special thing during the monologue. And is it... Who, what's his name?
Bobby Moynihan.
Yeah. He came out and did a whole thing with Brie Larson about living at his parents' house. And he went, oh, by the way, Mom, can you TiVo Vanderpump Rules for me? Thank you.
That's hilarious.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that is cool. He's a fan of the show. He did Watch What Happens Live with Kristen.
Yeah.
God, and so amazing. Did, and then A.D. Bryant did another one.
Does she do it with Sherry O'Terry also, or is she just a fan?
No, Sherry O'Terry impersonated Kristen and...
Yeah.
And Dylan McDermott, is that his name? He did James last year. Anywho, so Jacqueline, yeah, so we put together this show that we could have filmed, and then we just kept doing it, not when cameras were rolling, and it was basically like a mixture of sketch and stand-up,
mm-hmm.
and Jacqueline was on the show doing sketch, which is super fun.
For like 2 seconds. And
still, it was fun.
It was really fun. I'm not going to lie. I think that was my parents' proudest moment.
Did they watch it?
They did. My dad was like, what the fuck were you doing on stage? Because the clip
what was he doing?
The clip they showed, I was impersonating a very annoying Los Angeles type girl.
Yeah.
So
well, I think it was obvious you were playing a character, though.
Exactly. But I was making very gross Botox faces, and I was talking like this. And it was just, it was, you know, that was my big national TV debut, I would say.
That's so fun.
It was still really cool.
Yeah,
I loved
it's cool
it.
Because you were playing a big character. I need to stop moving away from this.
Or get closer.
I know, but it's like uncomfortable. Ugh, sorry, the headphones are,
girl,
they keep catching.
It looks cute, though.
Jacqueline thinks it look cute in headphones. I don't think I need anything to make my head bigger, but cool.
I think it's adorable.
Well, that's why she's my friend.
Exactly.
So what else did we want to talk about? We wanted to talk about...
We have so many things, guys. I would say, what about your... You just went to Stagecoach, O'Brien. I want to hear about this. I want you to convert me to a country fan with this.
Well, I don't know if I convert you to a country fan because the classic rock acts were the best by far. But Stagecoach was like the dream of my life because, well, it will get better in October, which I'll explain. But
dramatic pause.
I have become obsessed with an artist named Chris Stapleton.
Okay.
If you don't know who he is, I would like your first intro to him to be to Google Justin Timberlake and Chris Stapleton at the CMA Awards.
Drunk in Love?
What? It's not drunk. What are you talking about?
No, they're drunk on you. Didn't they perform?
No, they performed some stupid Justin Timberlake song
after they performed
the Chris Stapleton
song. Oh, okay. So, well, the
there was a Chris Timberlake one. There was a Chris
really
Stapleton
good.
Song first, and then they like played some petty, or there was a Chris Stapleton song first, and they played some petty Justin Timberlake song afterwards, which I barely know about.
You would like it. It's about being drunk.
I know. I heard it. But it was no Tennessee Whiskey, which is the Chris Stapleton one.
Oh, got
so
it. Cool.
This is the first I ever heard of him.
Drunk in Love is by Beyonce, by the way.
I know. And also, oh, Drunk on You is Luke Bryan. Never mind.
What the fuck is the name of it? Sorry, I keep saying fuck. I'll stop.
It's all right. Sorry, Mom. so yeah. So if you want to know who Chris Stapleton is. And if you don't want to know, you're dead to me. And you will Google this video, and it's the best thing ever. Because Chris Stapleton, I have never heard a voice this incredible. He starts singing, and he sings like the first verse of his song, and then Justin Timberlake comes in. Mm-hmm. And granted, Justin Timberlake sounds amazing, but for whatever reason, Chris Stapleton almost like blows him out of the water in this. And Chris Stapleton looks like an old classic rock artist, like almost like ZZ Top. He's got like a long beard.
Wait,
and all
stop
that
it!
Stuff.
I picture like a really hot guy, like a young hot.
You have
guy.
Not even looked him up, no. And you know how important this is to me.
I
look up Beyonce videos when they're important to you. And I don't even like her.
I know she's so annoying right now, God. But I love Lemonade. It's a really good album.
I have still pretended like it doesn't exist.
You,
I have not
I'm
heard
gonna
one.
Play you 6 Inch. It's her and The Weeknd, and you're. I think they sampled Portishead, and it's the sexiest thing you've heard in the entire decade.
Only after you listen to Chris Stapleton.
Fine, deal.
Who is an angel.
Deal. And let us know
him.
Which one you like better, guys. 6 Inch or what is his? Tennessee Whiskey. Tennessee Whiskey.
By Chris Stapleton.
I love it.
But you
it.
Have to watch the other video first. Whatever.
I will, I promise.
Anywho, I love him so much. And he's playing Stagecoach, or he did. And I had found out about him about a week prior to my mom buying our entire family Stagecoach tickets. Last year, she bought our entire family Coachella tickets. That was my first time going to Coachella as an adult living in LA because I just thought I wouldn't be into it.
Which is weird. I don't get it.
My mom, she bought the whole fam tickets with my
Cindy
niece and nephew.
O'Brien is very bougie, wants the best.
No, I think she just thought it was going to be a family affair.
I think she just likes fun shit.
Yeah, she does.
VIP level.
But it sounds like she's like an old hippie who like loves music. Like she does like music, but no, she more just thought like, let's all do something as a family.
She likes experiences.
Yeah. She has experiences? What do you mean?
She likes experiences.
Oh, she does. Yeah. But I didn't think I would like Coachella. I mean, the way you'd at least told me about Coachella.
I quit Coachella.
What do you mean? Well, I didn't think I would like it because you told me about all these, like, I mean, you said it was fun, but you said it was, like, kind of cheesy.
It is kind of cheesy. But I haven't been there recently. Like, I feel like I went the classic years you should have gone. Like, the first year I went, it was when Jay-Z and Beyonce headlined. I feel like I saw, like, Kings of Leon. I saw, like, all these cool bands. The next year, it was Kanye before he was, like, annoying Kardashian Kanye. It was him.
Before he wore blue contacts like an idiot.
Exactly.
Contacts.
Before he showed up to the Met Gala with jeans looking like a construction worker that put on a diamond jacket for his wife.
So embarrassing.
It's very embarrassing. It was Kanye, and he hired the entire New York City, like, professional ballet to be on stage with him.
Oh, so that's cool.
It was really cool.
So cultured, Kanye.
Exactly. Like, shocking. And then the next year was Tupac hologram. So I was like, mic drop.
That's awesome.
I don't need to come again. Like, yeah. I'm good. I got it.
Snoop Dogg came out during Sam Hunt's performance at Stagecoach. And Sam, and I would think I would have been more excited about the country artist. But the country artist nowadays...
so cheesy.
Yeah, it's kind of like watching like American Idol performance. Like it's like very poppy and like cheesy.
Because Carrie Underwood was on American Idol.
Yeah, it was. Yes, exactly. And hers was very like produced, and it wasn't like watching a musician. The best people at Stagecoach were Chris Stapleton. I love him. The Doobie Brothers were incredible. The Doobie Brothers were like a religious experience. They were so good.
Oh, see,
John
Fogerty,
who's almost. I mean, he's in his 70s. I'm not going to say he's almost 80, but he's in his 70s, which is like basically my grandpa's age. And he was still like just dancing and singing and playing guitar and like just killing it. Those people were way better than the like young, like hot country artists. Like,
it's annoying.
I left during the headliners performances. I left during like Carrie Underwood's. It was great. She was great, but I didn't like feel anything.
It's
I was just
over.
Like, I was like, oh, I got to go to bed early, which I do.
Which I get very mad at Rachel about.
I like to go to bed early. I like to
That's why she's so fresh looking.
I don't look fresh looking.
You do though.
No, I don't.
I don't get it. You just I can never tell if you've been out on a bender or if you went to bed at 7 o'clock. Like,
well, because even when I'm on a bender, I still go to bed early.
Oh yeah.
I like a good happy hour. I like to be drunk by about 9 PM, then give myself like a couple more hours. But I like to be in bed by like 10:30 if I can swing it. But midnight would be the latest. Yeah. I like a good night's sleep.
# bedtime goals, guys.
I like a good night's sleep.
I see. I can't get to bed before like 1 or 2 a.m. It's the worst.
I think most people are like that, though.
Yeah, and that's why we look old as fuck.
She's acting like I don't have crow's feet for days. But let's stop talking about our appearances.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. No, it's true.
You just put wait, hold on.
I don't look... What?
Sorry, guys. I had to pour myself some more wine. Rachel just put Kylie Jenner lip gloss on me.
It's a lip kit.
It's a lip kit that she got from our friend Stassi. And I'm literally like scratching at my lips. I don't know what
it's
to
like
do.
It's painful. It
feels like dried like rubber cement.
It feels terrible.
Yeah.
That's why I never wear it. I've only used it like twice and I'm like uncomfortable the entire time.
Yeah. Like I walked in and immediately noticed your lips and I was like, oh my God, I like that on her. Like it looks like at first glance, you're like, that's great. And then you try it and you're like, wow. So first of all, you're not going to make out with anyone because your lips look, it's like drying.
Yeah,
like,
it's disgusting.
I can't imagine this feels good on anyone else's lips if it feels like shit on yours. Second of all, I just found out it's very hard to get off. So,
oh, it's extremely hard to get off.
Cool.
Like,
great.
You need like actual makeup remover or oil to get it off.
Awesome. So
I just feel like as rich as Kylie is, couldn't you like find like a, slightly more moisturizing
something
situation?
That's like beneficial? Well, but someone just I posted something with it on, and someone just said your lips look on point.
See, so. It looks good, but it feels like crap.
Yeah, which it, apparently, I mean, that isn't that what plastic surgery is? Like, it looks good, but it feels like crap.
Well, yeah, I'm sure like getting cut into with a knife.
I can't picture that
in my slightly like older age, not old, but you know what I mean. I have found that I would rather be more comfortable, though. And I feel like that is happening to me probably sooner than it should.
What do you mean?
I don't want to, like, I don't know. I feel like more and more, like, I've always kind of, like, been someone that, like, walked around, like, sloppy during the day, like, in workout clothes and, like, no makeup on and stuff. Just, I'm like, oh, well, I don't really feel like doing it all up.
You
or
don't
whatever.
Need makeup.
Shut up. And I used to actually wear, like, I used to try to look cute on stage doing stand-up. I realized that was a bad thing. Like,
no.
People don't want to watch
that
attractive
alienates
people.
The audience.
Yeah, they don't want to watch attractive people
fuck
do stand-up.
That.
Which is fine with me. It's a great excuse to just, you know, be the, like, old man that
do you
I
wanna
am
hear
inside.
Something?
What?
I was talking to random agents that had their girlfriends with them. They were sitting at the bar.
Uh-huh. Wait, where at?
At Beso.
Uh-huh.
And they weren't like comedy agents, but they had gone to a comedy club the night before.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know which female comedian it was, but they said she was Latina and wearing the shortest shorts. And all they could focus on the entire time she was talking was the short shorts. They were like, she was hot, but like, it was so distracting. Not because her body looked really good. It's just, they were like,
it's distracting.
Felt uncomfortable.
Yeah. You get uncomfortable. There was a girl, I do Second City, and there was a girl, and you...
Wait,
you,
tell them what that is.
Second City is, it's an improv school / theater that, like, it was very popular in Chicago, and it was very popular, like, in the 80s and 90s, and a lot of huge SNL people came out of it, like Chris Farley and Tim Meadows... Steve Carell went there. All these like, big
Tina
people.
Fey and Amy Poehler started there.
Oh, they did? Oh, I thought one of them went to UCB later.
No, Amy created UCB in New York after.
Oh, but she started at Second City?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, Jacqueline tells me all these cool pop culture things.
I fill my brain with that shit and not the important shit. Just letting you know.
That is important. It's important for what we do.
It is, but like bills and like, you know, due dates are important too. I'm like, I'm familiar. I don't get it.
I don't really know.
I forgot about that shit.
I don't have stamps. I can't send anything in.
I don't know what that means.
It's like, it's an improv situation. And you lab with, and that means you like, you watch like a younger class will do, you know, like a little like showcase for you at the end of every day that you do it. And there was this girl, and I'm not being mean because she's new and whatever. And I didn't learn that there were comedy clothes until I started doing it or started like actually wearing comedy clothes.
Because you want to look cute at first.
Because you want to look cute and you also think like, well, fuck it. I'm not going to like conform to these.
I can be
like,
funny
norms.
And makeup and blowout and short skirt. Fuck you.
I mean, we would never normally wear that anyways on stage, but like, I would still try to look like put together and pretty. It's not like I try not to look like that, but I guess I just try to be comfortable now on stage. But this girl in the lab was wearing is it jersey material? What's that type of material that shows everything that's on your body, basically?
I would say
it's not cotton.
It's not cotton. It is jersey. And like, it's I think it's really like a stretchy.
Yeah, it's stretchy and thin. And it was a peach colored shirt.
They call it a bodycon.
But it wasn't tight necessarily. It was actually worse that it wasn't tight. Because tight would have kind of like held it in. It was like loose. And she was wearing something like that in a peach color with no bra.
Ooh.
And that's all you could look at. Like, I was like, I don't even know what this girl's saying. Like, even if it was really funny, and it was, she actually was pretty funny.
It doesn't matter.
And it was like, what are you wearing that for?
I had something on tour for the troops. Mm-hmm. My second show, I decided the Whiskey Lifestyle had gifted me a bunch of shirts to wear,
mm-hmm.
Which is a great lifestyle brand. If anyone's listening that lives in New York or Brooklyn, it's the Whiskey Brooklyns. They have a new like clothing line. Anyway, they're amazing. I had a shirt that had an American flag on it that was black and white. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this will be perfect for the troops.
Yeah.
It was a white t-shirt and it was very tight.
Oh.
And I had on Army Green J brand cute
jeans. Oh, I love those. Yeah.
They're good.
But they're very tight and they show a lot of what's happening.
Yeah. You can tell I got a figure under here. And the second it was my worst show. The second I walked on stage, I immediately, because I never wear like a tight white t-shirt on stage. Not saying I'm fucking Pamela Anderson, but it's troops that haven't been in contact with
exactly.
You know, so I could tell immediately no one was paying attention to a word I was saying. They just didn't even want to hear me. Like, I could not wait to get off the stage. I was like,
and you feel uncomfortable yourself when you know that, like,
I just knew. I was like, this sucks. Granted, my set, I had switched it around and wasn't that good either. But it was definitely the only time I will ever wear a tight white t-shirt on stage. Yeah. I learned my lesson.
Yeah, I won't do that either anymore. Yeah.
So basically,
although I like that we can blame like having a bad set. Like, I'm just like, oh, it was the way I looked.
It was the tight
white
t-shirt.
I thought I was too pretty. It wasn't because I didn't wasn't funny that
oh,
night.
I didn't
it was
say pretty. I said hot. I don't know.
Ooh, she said hot. I always use the word pretty. I don't know.
You get
I don't know.
Because you're pretty and hot.
No.
Yeah.
Jacqueline and I have been doing this kind of like trying to be entertainers for like our entire lives. We used to like be avid dancers when we were little kids, both of us, but in different ways. Like Jacqueline did like sexy hip hop dancing. I was like a ballerina and a tap dancer. Again, because I feel like I just have like an old like weird soul who's just like, I like traditional shit.
Yes.
And
wait, do you have any really embarrassing moments from when you were a dancer?
Yeah. When I first moved to LA, when I first started auditioning, we're also actors, obviously. Comics also always.
I mean,
always
obviously, if you couldn't tell.
No, but comics, of course, want to be actors.
Yeah. We started acting first, though.
Yeah, we both started acting first. And when I first moved to LA, I had my first commercial agent, and they were sending me on auditions. And I had said in my, like, breakdown of special skills, like, yes, I can do ballet because I was a really good ballet dancer when I was a little kid.
You should see her arch in her foot. She has a great point. Like, she could do ballet now.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll see. but, you know, it's still in you when you're a kid. But, yes, I have not done it for probably, I hadn't done it for, like, 5 years at that point. And I got sent on this commercial audition for... Might have been, like, fucking batteries. I don't know why they had ballet dancers in it. They were like, must have, like, ballet skills. So I showed up to the audition, and I didn't have any of my... Because I had just moved here, and I didn't have any of my, like, old ballet gear with me. So I had to, like, go buy some shoes and, like, some tights and put the whole getup on. And by the way, ballet... When you do ballet, like, regularly, there's a very specific body type you have.
Oof.
And it is in shape, and it is very much shows that you do this all the time. So I squeezed myself into a leotard. You know, it's it looked like more like a costume on me at this point.
Yeah, like you're doing a sketch.
Yeah, and I like forgot how to put my hair in a bun. And I tried to like, you know, do the whole thing. And I show up at the audition and I was like, well, I'm sure there's going to be lots of people like me who like did it as kids and they could still kind of do it. We'll all fake our way through. No. I show up. It was like the American Ballet just stretching in there. And I was like, well, I'm already in it. I might as well just keep going. They're stretching, they're like getting into, they're staring at me and their leg warmers and all their jazzy stuff. And we go into the audition room and it's like 15 of us together. And this is all they said to do. They go, okay, we're just going to put on some music and I want you to one by one freestyle a dance. So they did, like prima ballerinas in point shoes doing all this like fancy
what
stuff.
Monsters.
Yeah, I got up there like I might as well have looked like Chris Farley in the Chippendales dancer thing. Like it was like I was so sloppy. And but for me, though, I don't like to feel stupid or like I think like oh like something is better than me. So sometimes I'm just like oh fuck it, I'm just gonna try. And like if they don't like it, whatever. And so I'll get like just kind of jazzy like in a sloppy way.
Jazzy.
I didn't get it. I'm sure you're not surprised to hear that. Being a professional dancer is very different from doing it a lot as a kid.
When you were 12.
But Jacqueline, you still get shit like this. Like, you still, like, you got a choreography job the other day.
Yeah.
Because Jacqueline can still, she can do Britney Spears and a Britney Spears dance impression like none other.
That reminds me. I actually want to propose, I used to do Crunch fitness videos.
Ooh.
When I first moved, not like do them in my living room.
Oh, yeah, you used to do like striptease ones.
Yeah, never was a stripper. You're welcome, Dad. I could be a lot richer
Big
right now.
Big favor to you, even though you helped me out with money all these years. Yeah. Like, yeah, well, good thing I didn't strip.
Exactly. I'm killing it as a person. I somehow was like cast in all these like Crunch fitness videos when I first moved to LA, and it was like strip aerobics and like sexy beat and like weird like all like dancing in stilettos. Like I felt like it was like a trail off from like the Carmen Electra videos that were very popular.
Those were popular.
They were great. Mm-hmm. She's still so hot. I can't take
it. She's killing
She's
it.
Just always gonna be hot.
Good for you.
Carmen, we bow down. You're so eternally hot. Anyway, good frame. Just a good frame, right? Yeah. So I did a lot of those, and now I'm missing that like sexy kind of like stretch class.
Cool, I'm not.
At Crunch.
I'm joking.
Oh. Really jonesing for it. But I started my dance career when I was really young. I was on like competition teams. But my style was the opposite of Rachel's, where, like, you put me in a ballet class, and I looked like Chris Farley also. But I could kill a good, like, Broadway jazz, Fosse, hip-hop type number.
Jacqueline has a hair flip like you've never seen.
I enjoy a good hair flip, guys, as long as my extensions are really tight in there. Anyway, I really want... Oh, so... I started my dance career with all of Britney Spears' choreographers at Broadway Dance Center.
She grew up in a cool city where those were options.
I didn't.
I'm from a really small town.
They didn't have those in Oregon?
No. Well, you know, when there's like 2,000 people in the town, there's not a, you know, I don't think Britney Spears' choreographers are moving there to teach.
It wasn't an option.
No.
It wasn't an option either in Princeton, New Jersey, but there was an option to take the train into New York City.
That's awesome.
So when I was, I want to say 14, I would lie to my parents and say I had rehearsal for some play I was doing, or like I was going over to my friend like Missy's house, and I'll be home like really late. Because rehearsals usually ended at like 10:30, 11.
Damn, that's late.
I know. Yeah, we were so dedicated as performers. Damn. And I would leave. I was a freshman in high school. I would leave school because our high school was right by the train station. And I would go to the train station. I would take a cab because we didn't have Uber or Lyft back then. Thank God. I probably would have gotten into so much more trouble if that existed back in the day.
Yeah, but you still could take a train into New York, which is so fun and exciting.
Yes. So I would lie. I would get a train ticket. I would take the train into New York by myself. Very unsafe. And I would go to Broadway Dance Center, and I would take classes with Darren Henson and Wade Robson and another guy, Brian, that I can't remember his last name, but he was fucking phenomenal. And it was right when Britney Spears was like hitting. Mm-hmm. And I learned all of the Britney dances from the actual choreographers, and I still know them to this day.
Yes, she does. And they are lovely.
Thank you.
But they're actually pretty exact.
Aw. And I learned all the NSYNC dances and the Christina Aguilera dances, and I'm dating myself and aging myself right now, but I feel like that's missing at Crunch. Like, how fun would that be to just go to a class?
That would actually be really fun.
It would be really fun, but
I would feel stupid the whole time, and
no.
I would probably, like, get drunk before, or, like,
and
I
that's
would bring,
okay.
like, a mini bottle of wine with me. But I feel like it would be fun.
It would be really fun, and I feel like I'd hold like mini weights during it, so you would get like a better workout.
That's a great idea.
I really want to pitch
that.
Okay,
it is a good idea. It is a very good idea. I just feel like I wouldn't take it seriously, and I would go, and I would be drunk the whole time and probably embarrass myself.
No, you wouldn't.
Or
it'd be fun for everyone. Or maybe I should just host birthday parties.
No, like I think you should do it at Crunch. I think it's a great idea. Because people want to do like fun things to work out.
I feel like the 90s and the two, like we could bring back New Kids on the Block dances. Like the,
it'd be really fun. Yeah. It would be really fun.
I feel like every week you learn a new dance from one of your favorite music videos. Only you do weights and abs and get
this
hot.
Crunch gym thing.
I think you should.
I'm only going to like specialty things. Like I go to a pop physique studio, which is like bar workouts. But I only go like twice a week.
I didn't like the instructor we had last week.
No,
she was annoying.
It's not, but it's really not the person. It's because the workout's very annoying.
Is it?
Yes, it's because you don't move at all, really. You're just like moving like your leg up an inch, and you're supposed to like getting a toned butt.
Everything was shaking the whole time.
Yeah, you're in pain the whole time, but you're not actually moving. So it's like being in pain, but not going anywhere. So you don't feel like you're accomplishing anything until I guess your body looks better.
It's like being blacked out.
Yeah. We need to go hiking.
Yes, but Runyon's closed.
Yeah, but we're going to go somewhere else, like, cooler.
I would say Griffith Park.
Okay.
That's my favorite. Well, because there's a little cafe at the bottom of it, and you get to, like, eat and drink things at the end.
Listen, when you say that, I'm in, always. There's nothing I love more than food and alcohol.
That's what Rachel do. We like to maintain. We don't actually like to lose anything. We work out hard to play hard.
Yeah, I like to... Look, I know who I am. I know it's not I know it's not going to get better than it is. And I'm not saying that I don't think that...
It's great.
I've been blessed with some genes. And it's probably harder for some. But I used to be a big kid. And I had to, like, diet and figure out how to, like, not be 200 pounds. And... but I know it's not... I know I'm not going to be, like, the like hot bodied one. And so I don't really try to be and stress myself out about it because I know who I am. And I like that. I like.
Yeah. Classically beautiful. Shush. You're like the Audrey Hepburn type. No. You're the girlfriend type.
Audrey Hepburn weighed about 90 pounds. No, but I'm saying like.
You're like her with boobs.
I loved figuring out when I got to a certain age that like. Sometimes you just can't change certain things about yourself that are like, I mean, you can always be better. You can always be like smarter and you know, you can make more money. You can do that. But things about like your physical appearance, like I'm not that tall. I'm only like 5'5". I would like to, and that's not short, I know. But I have a lot of friends that are like 5'9". And like, of course, I'd like to be taller.
Kristen, but you her fucking thigh gap and her legs.
Oh, yeah, she's incredible.
It doesn't matter what she eats. She doesn't have to work out. It's just, that's it.
It's just, there's that's just what length she is.
There.
Yeah.
And we're never going like, to be like that.
You can't get taller.
I'm 5'5".
It's not like, I guess in Asia, they can break your bones and
we
like
can wear heels.
Whatever. But like, instead of like being like upset about like what you are, I was just like, I figured out that this is as good as it's gonna get.
That's what I'm working with. Yeah. And you've taught me a lot about that. I feel like when we first met, I wanted everything to be like what everyone's ideal was. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But you wanted like, but not everyone has the same ideal. That's so you true. Would just be like jealous of like something that was like, well, that was like really popular, I guess, for like a couple of months. Like you can't have everything. I think that's how people get into plastic surgery.
Yeah,
maybe.
And it's so bad.
They're like, I got to have that. I got to
do
that.
Don't fuck with your face, guys.
Yeah.
Don't like do it. Maybe a little Botox here and there. Like some little like peels, like facials. But
because
that
stuff goes
is
in
it.
And out of style too. Back in like the, when was, I almost said Chrissy Teigen. What's her name? Something Teigs. Cheryl Teigs. And who's the really beautiful blonde? Christy Brinkley.
Yeah.
They were popular in a time where it was very popular to have thin lips. Like thin, like it was like frowned upon to have like big lips and whatever.
They were more athletic with boobs.
Yeah, exactly.
And beautiful blonde hair, like high bone structure. Cheryl Teigs actually talked a lot of shit about Kate Upton.
Really?
Saying that she was too fat.
Oh, that's so mean.
Yeah, right?
Well, Cheryl, listen, buddy.
Cheryl.
I realize you've aged, but I wouldn't shit on someone who's trying. And
but it like wasn't healthy.
Yeah. She's totally healthy. She's
I could
got
deal
a great
with a Kate
figure.
Upton body. I could deal with it.
I would take that any day.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
That's just her butt. Like, I think she looks awesome.
She looks cool.
She's probably really skinny in real life.
Yeah, she's probably... I actually bumped into her. Oh, my God. When I was at Neil Brennan's 3-mic show at the Largo, which, by the way, if you haven't seen 3 mics, I think it's still on Broadway. Go see it now.
Oh,
it's
shit. That's cool.
Life-changing. Neil Brennan, you're phenomenal.
Yes, he is. He's so talented.
So Chrissy Teigen's husband, John Legend, mm-hmm. I don't think I even need to like explain that. He is the producer of the Broadway show.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's the producer of it. So I was at the LA show before it moved to Broadway. And the show finished, like I'm walking out.
How does John Legend and Neil Brennan know each other?
Right.
How did that happen? Well, that's cool.
Well, when we went to that show, like Gerard Carmichael was in the audience, Questlove. Mm-hmm. From
these are the Gerard Carmichael's a comic.
Yeah, Questlove is an amazing musician. Yeah. He, you know, so I think musicians they all that whole
yeah, I guess they're all
friends.
Run together. People run together.
They do. That's how it is. Just like us as comics, like we all run.
All
together.
Comics run together.
We have like a lady gang.
It's
of
true.
Comics
and guy gang. We have all the
we
same.
Have we have guy gang. Yeah. You're right. Actually, I like that.
Yeah.
Remind me, Earl Skakel. We were talking about roast battle ideas.
Okay.
Not, but. Okay. Hold that thought. Anyway, after three mics, I'm walking out to go to like the lounge area, and I literally physically just like bump into a person. It was Chrissy Teigen. Literally, her baby bump at the time just like smacked into me, and I was like, "Oh my god, I touched a Teigen!" But as that happened,
sounds sexual.
It does. Because I feel like she's like kind of a spirit animal of mine.
She's lovely.
Her mix with someone else. She bumped into me though, was like, "Bye, Kate." And it was Kate Upton. And Kate, crazy. Like in person, was even like more beautiful and like hot. And you're just like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I'll take
like,
it.
You know, like, and I was with a date at the time and I was like, take a look. Like, don't try to act like you're not seeing this.
This is good.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with what's happening right now.
Did you see Chrissy Teigen posted a photo of her like post baby on Mother's Day, like cooking? She's wearing a crop top.
She looks better than she did before.
She just had a baby. She's wearing a crop top.
Crop top.
Do you know how many times I've tried to wear a crop top and then just like wanted to go home and kill myself like midday? Because I'm like, I had a glass of water. Now I have to take this off.
Yep.
There's something in my stomach now.
Chrissy.
She had a child in her stomach.
And it still
gave birth to it. There's probably still some shit and water in there that needs to go away.
I can't.
But she looks better than most people ever would.
Ever will.
God bless you, Chrissy.
No. You know the ones that really, really confuse me? Like Kristen Cavallari.
Oh, well, she's tiny. I've seen her in real life, and she is like...
She's had three kids.
She's unbelievably tiny.
But she wasn't when she was younger.
She's tiny.
At the age you're supposed to be tiny, she was not tiny.
No, I think that it just looks like that on camera. I think because she had, like, baby fat, but her, like, frame, she's one of the tiniest people I've ever seen. She's little.
But she looks so hot. Like, she looks like she has curves and stuff.
Yes, but she's very tiny. I guess she has, like, tiny curves.
That's weird. It's like boobs and lubes. Who got married this weekend?
Yes, she did.
Morgan Stewart and Brendan... What's his...
It's not Frasier.
I don't...
I'll tell you that right now.
Fitz something.
The Mummy
Fitz
didn't
perfectly
get married.
Was their hashtag.
The Mummy Returns didn't get married.
No, thank you. The Mummy Returns. Still waiting to see all
They're
of that.
They're an adorable couple, actually.
Oh, my God. Wait, did
I
you
met
see
her
address?
At an event. Not th- oh, yeah,
we were
both
there
met
together.
Her. Yeah.
And
she
I was
very
like,
nice.
She was so nice.
Yeah, very cool.
Love,
very
love stylish. Her style. She goes to the yoga studio that you go to that I sometimes piggyback onto.
Yeah, and she's ridiculous looking.
Her body's insane. Did you see her wedding dress?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I think.
I didn't like it at first.
Oh, no, I like it.
But now I can't stop staring at it.
It's crop top with long sleeves, right?
It's the my favorite kind of lace is the long sleeve lace.
I do like long sleeve lace.
It's a white long sleeve lace. And then the skirt, it's that tight, like high waisted with the fish
tip. I'm into the long sleeves. Katie tried on all long sleeves at, Glamour Magazine did a profile of Katie in New York trying on wedding dresses.
Tell them who Katie is. Who's Katie?
Oh, Katie Maloney from Vanderpump Rules. Sorry. At Kleinfeld Bridal in New York. And she like focused on trying on like long sleeve lace dresses. And my God, they are
They're the best.
The prettiest on. Mm-hmm. Like they look so good. She looked incredible in them.
You do the long sleeve lace walking down the aisle and then like your dress for the actual like fun reception. I feel like you need to show
sexier.
A little collarbone. You need.
All right.
That's. According to men, there's been many surveys, like not like dirty hot parts, but like the most like sexy part on a woman is her collarbones and like neck. Like
is
this,
it?
This area should always be shown. Yeah. It
well,
really
why
is.
Do I wore a turtleneck this weekend. God damn it.
Well, you had a sweater
were there a lot
over
of
it.
Guys you were trying to impress?
No, but I want to look cool. I mean, yeah, you're always, the collarbone is where it's at, but I mean, I feel like a hot leg was second, you know, a good like ab is third.
Collarbone was first?
That was first. Collarbone.
God, I wish I had one of those body types where you could just kind of like get like where it would like hold like fat like below the boob area, yep, or even below the waist, and then you could just hide it and then just show your collarbone.
Yeah. I never, my collarbones don't pop out unless I
you
haven't
always
eaten
have collarbones.
No. Yeah, they're showing right now because I've been like going at it workout wise.
We're going to stop talking about bodies.
Yeah, sorry guys.
Let's talk about less annoying things.
Rachel, I just want to know why you actually got started doing stand-up comedy. Like, that's how we met. That's your job now. I want to know how this all started.
Stand-up comedy started for me because I moved to LA to be an actor. And then I went to screenwriting school at UCLA. I went to grad school for that.
Oh,
and
UCLA.
Quickly realized. What up, dog? I quickly realized that I like to write pilots, like comedic pilots. And then I was like, well, how does that happen? What's involved in that? And then I realized a lot of stand-up comedians like had pilots like based on them. And I was like, well, I should try stand-up. I should learn how this works. And then I tried stand-up, and I was like, well, fuck, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life now. It was like taking a drug. Like, it got under my skin so quickly, and, well, the first time I did it, and I just knew that I had to do it for the rest of my life or I wouldn't be happy. And that's how stand-up started. How about you?
I mean, that's exactly what my parents always told me to do. Do what you love.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you're really lucky you figured that out at a young age.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that I didn't even really... Well, of course, I always wanted to make money doing what I do, but it was one of the first things I ever did where I didn't care if I was making money doing it. I just wanted to do it.
Yeah.
How about you? How'd you figure it out? How'd you decide to get into it?
For me,
I actually don't know the answer to this.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah, I really
don't.
It's
like totally, your answer I kind of knew, but was still curious to hear details. Mm-hmm. For me, I've been acting ever since I was little. And I remember the first laugh I ever got felt amazing. I think I was probably like 10 on stage. Mm-hmm. And then I remember I was playing Anita in West Side Story. I remember doing something like off book during rehearsal that was more like physical comedy that I was like, oh, I'm good at this shit. And then in college, there was a Molière scene where I had to do all this stuff. And like, it was more physical comedy. Physical comedy has always been a thing for me.
Uh-huh.
So I always wanted to do sitcoms. I was always influenced by like Seinfeld and Friends and whatnot. But I came to LA and got a job as a waitress at the Laugh Factory.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's...
I remember I got the job right before I was like, you know what? I think I'm done. Like, I think I should leave LA. And I remember I had answered an ad on Craigslist. They didn't tell you what the job was for. They just said they needed a cocktail waitress in Hollywood. And I had submitted my resume, and that day I was hiking on Runyon, and Dane Cook was a huge, I don't want to say influence, I want to say in my early life, I just thought he was hilarious.
He's a great comic.
All throughout college, thought he was hysterical. He was the first comedian that, like, I bought all his albums. I was doing, like, an off Broadway play in New York, and I remember, like, walking by Madison Square Garden and buying a ticket by myself to go see one of his tours and sitting in Madison Square Garden.
I feel like people discredit him because, you know, he's had some interesting experiences lately, but like to do what he did as a comic is a huge deal.
It's insane. I feel like he almost got like too famous. Yeah. I've also seen him be a huge asshole working at the Laugh Factory, which...
I have personally never experienced that. He's always been very nice to me. I've done shows with him. He's always been very nice. But I mean, I'm sure his ego got too big. And I think that, but I also think too, like.
You're like, well,
that's
I'm
hard to deal
Dane
with
Cook.
After a while. Yeah.
The biggest comedian. I'm sorry. My Kylie Jenner lip stuff is like peeling off.
Oh, I've been peeling it off the whole time. Like, it's like, I have a sunburn and like, it's ridiculous. Anyway, Kylie, get some moisture in this.
I digress. Basically, I was like, that's it. Crying, walking on Runyon. And was going to give up at LA. And then all of a sudden, my idol, basically, who I had never seen in LA before, walked by me and just kind of, like, looked at me. And it was Dane Cook. I remember just being like, oh my God, that's a sign. Like, picture like someone that like you've always looked up to, oh, yeah, that you thought was like, we didn't say anything to each other. We mm-hmm. just like looked at each other and kind of like nodded. And that's, I was so like cool, crying, and like I moseyed on my way. And then a week later, I got a call from that Craigslist ad that I had answered about being a cocktail server. And it was actually the Laugh Factory. Mm-hmm. Went in, interviewed, got hired, worked at the Laugh Factory for like 2 years. So that's how I got to meet all these comedians. Mm-hmm. And it was when basically everyone that's headlining right now was like coming up. Like mm-hmm. it was before they were huge. It was when Brett Ernst, like Tony Rock, Sebastian Maniscalco, mm-hmm. Dove Davidoff, like everyone was like just about to hit, mm-hmm. you know, Chris D'Elia, Brent Morin.
Such a cool, listen, for people that are listening to this, there is nothing cooler than the energy and the electricity of like being in a comedy club and feeling how everyone around you and all your friends, like, honestly, if you do stick with it, and it doesn't happen for everyone.
No.
And that's sometimes
that's
it is just
path.
Bad luck and it wasn't the right path. And
that's it.
Sad. And you know, who knows, it might not happen for us, but I hope it does, and I think it will. But there's nothing like being around a bunch of people and feeling like this is I'm watching all of these people like blossom. Like I'm gonna know them before they really hit, and we're all in the right place and we're all doing the right thing, even though it sucks. I mean, sometimes stand up sucks. Sometimes you get off stage and you're like, well, I'm gonna kill myself. That was the worst that I've ever done, and now I'm just gonna kill myself because it's so emotional. It's like you're like, you know, ripping open your skin and just like exposing yourself on stage. And that's hard to take when people don't like it or if you're not in the right frame of mind.
It's
but
awkward.
But like Jacqueline said, like seeing all these people come up is
like
really cool.
Whitney Cummings used to walk through and she'd wear a backpack and she'd bring, I forget who her boyfriend was at the time, and she would work out stuff on stage, and she was very relatable. Like everything mm-hmm. she talked about, I was like, oh, I get her voice.
Yeah, I used to listen to her too at the Comedy Store a long time ago.
Yeah, and that was before she sold Two Broke Girls. That was before the Whitney show. That was before all that. And like you were like, oh, this girl's going to make it. Eliza Schlesinger, I would sit next to her dog. The fuck is her dog's name? I don't know. She has a really cute dog that she brings everywhere. And she would just do show after show. And it was just, you got to see, like working there, you got to see the work ethic. Mm-hmm. You got to see everyone go up every single night, and they mm-hmm. would go from club to club, and you're like, oh, this is like a job. Like it's mm-hmm. not just people like being assholes and like getting drunk all night, which they also do, but we do that too.
You take it really seriously. It really is like,
but it's your office. And so I got to see that. Didn't do stand up for another probably 2 or 3 years after that. Like even working there, I dated a lot of comics, which made me realize, oh, comics are very selfish, which mm-hmm. is what you have to be if you want to make it.
Yeah.
You have to, you know.
I think there's a way to balance it, but yes,
there
you
is.
Do have to be.
You have to sacrifice your time a lot. And then I had a big birthday coming up, and I was like, you know what? Like, I just want to try it once. And so I did take the Pretty Funny Women class.
Yeah, Lisa.
With Rachel O'Brien. Mm-hmm. And that's how we met.
Lisa Sunset is the creator of it.
And
we love her.
We love her. Thank you, Lisa. Actually, Rachel and I first met at Saddle Ranch on Sunset years
yeah, but I don't
before
remember
this.
It.
Yeah, I remember her being the prettiest person I ever met and thinking, wow, she's really, really pretty and kind of bitchy, but I think she was just not into meeting any new girlfriends. She had a lot of time.
I probably didn't have any friends. I was probably just hungry. Yeah. I mean, I probably was just like thinking about my next meal and couldn't talk.
Probably.
But we met a long time ago, but we only discovered this later by seeing a photo
of us at the same table.
At the same table. It was something for Vanderpump I had to pull up and give to production, and it was to see like when me and Jax were first dating, and Jax and Tom Sandoval were hanging out, and all of a sudden Jacqueline is in one of these photos of like on my old camera, and I hadn't obviously met her at the time, and I was like, what the?
That's
and I
so sent it crazy to her.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah, so I started doing stand-up in that class.
Yeah,
and that was it. I do remember though as a little girl also watching, like sneaking late at night on HBO, like Elaine Boozler and like Rita Rudner and mm-hmm. Robin Williams, like watching their stand-up specials and not ever being like, I want to do that, but just always loving it.
See, what's weird for me is I was obsessed with SNL, and I rejected doing improv for the longest time because I was like, I'm a stand-up comic. Like, I'm already funny. I don't need to do this. But what's weird, and I do it now, obviously, I'm just mentioned Second City, but what's weird is I was so drawn to, like, SNL and Chris Farley and Will Ferrell and Cher Oteri. Like, that's all I would do is watch that and then act it out with, like, I would act out the Will Ferrell and Cher Oteri Spartan skits with my dad at, like, parties with my parents. And my friend Sabrina and I would do the same thing. Like, I had a very, like, comedic childhood where I felt like kind of, like, offbeat. Not like, but I was from such a small town, though, that I couldn't feel, like, I wasn't, like, bullied or anything as a kid. I mean, I guess I was, but, like, it didn't really matter because everyone was losers.
In Oregon? What? Stop.
I didn't recognize that I cared that they were mean to me just because I don't know. I'm able to convince myself very easily that I'll be okay, and as Which, long as I'm, like, nice to people, I'm better or something. So when
everyone
people are
needs
mean to
that
me,
quality. I'm so jealous of that.
I don't know. I think it's like self-preservation, but you weren't probably bullied as a kid because you were pretty.
No, I was bullied a lot.
You were?
I was.
Well,
we'll get into that in the next episode.
All right, next episode. But anyways, I was more obsessed with SNL for some reason. Like, I knew that more than I knew stand-ups, which is funny that I rejected doing improv and sketch comedy and got into stand-up first. But yeah, I mean, I still watch like Chris Farley, like even just interviews to this day. I loved him so much.
Aww.
Yeah.
I want to get you a poster framed of Chris.
Oh my God. Our friend Brady does the paintings.
Oh,
that's another. See, we have so much to talk about.
So much.
Brady, we'll just keep doing podcast. We're going to record five.
Five.
Or I guess I am, but Jacqueline's probably going to be like my main guest because she lives a block away and she's like my best friend. So like, be a lot of Jacqueline. So I hope you like her. I like her a lot. She's really pretty and cool.
Thanks, Rach.
People are going to be like, we like Jacqueline better than you, Rachel.
Okay.
So.
All right. Calm down. Well, if you're a New York Giants fan, you'll like me better. If not, then I don't know.
I don't have really those teams where I'm from.
Do you remember our Drunk Sports series? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I've been
getting asked about that a lot lately.
People still think it's a thing.
They still think it's a thing. Earl Skakel, like, we were filming that pilot. That's the Cabernet talking. We were filming a pilot all weekend together.
It's Pinot Noir, Jacqueline.
Pinot Noir, you're right. That's lighter. And he was like, I still think the Drunk Sports series, that's a thing.
It's a thing. So
I feel like people miss it. Maybe we took a season off and now we need to like rework and do something else with it.
But do you think the people we would?
No.
No. Yeah. I won't say that out loud, but you know.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Maybe.
I think it needs
Guys,
to be reworked.
Guys, look up Drunk Sports. We put it on YouTube. There's not like a ton of views, but it was
basically something there.
Comedians getting drunk and recapping NFL football games.
Which is a really hard thing to produce on your own without like a lot of backing, like week after week.
We wrote it, like, produced it, started it, got drunk while producing it.
Yeah, because drunk history is a thing on Comedy Central, but the history happened 200 years
so
ago.
So you're just recapping it.
So you just recap. We were on like a time limit where we had to like do it every week, like up to date.
Oh, that's a good point. Never thought about that.
Like, it has to be like fresh and out. And I just feel like right now we would do a much better job with it this coming season. And this is the time to start pre-planning it and pitching it. About it, O'Brien.
Well, let's think about it. People you heard it here first. Hey, we already trademarked it because we said it out loud.
We did.
That's a thing.
And that's a thing.
Well, guys, this has been very fun. This was my first podcast. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. My sweet boyfriend, John, got me...
John Leaf!
Mike, he's the nicest, best guy ever. He got me microphones for Christmas because I had been talking about starting a podcast for the longest time. It's May, so I guess I didn't really jump on that as well as I should have.
Everything's worth waiting for.
But I love doing this. This feels like stand-up almost. Like, I love talking and like talking about ideas. And I felt, I liked the part when we were talking about how much we loved stand-up almost the most. And I listen to podcasts about like inspirational things about people making it and stuff. I listen to Barry Katz's podcast religiously.
Yes.
I love it. And maybe this will be the direction it takes. Maybe it will be about like just loving what you do and making it happen and shit like that. Because as much as like, you know, I'm a drunk and I like to like make jokes about things and be whatever, I do like to research how to make it, think about how to make it, inspire other people how to make it. So
I
could perhaps be a little bit about that. I have a fucking painting on my wall that I had made because I heard it from a Barry Katz podcast. Larry Miller, who's I'm sure you should know who he is. He's huge. He's a huge comic. He's a great actor. He's been in so many things. And he said this quote on Barry Katz's podcast that resonated with me so much that I called someone and had them paint it like 5 minutes after I heard it. I mean, it wasn't obviously done 5 minutes afterwards, but I was like, I need this commissioned and I need it done. And the quote was, he was talking about how hard it is to make it in the entertainment industry or in any industry. But if you know that you love it, his point was, there was a couple more phrases before, but he said, keep swinging with both hands and keep smiling and keep saying, how do you like that? I'm in show business and I'm never leaving. And that practically made me cry the first time I heard it. So I had it painted on my wall. What?
That's making me cry now.
Because it's because we're grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be as far as I've come, and I can't wait for more. And you do. You feel grateful. It's like, even if it's like, even if we're still doing like Jacqueline and I are still doing bar shows, but so are big comics. Chris Rock still does bar shows sometimes. Like, not, you know, he's done the Parlor and
stuff. Dave Chappelle's done the Parlor.
We all still do places. It's not like we're, you know, not everyone is always selling out shows.
We do a lot of stuff for free.
Yeah, but you love, we love doing it so much. The heck, I would love to just keep doing that. I mean, I would obviously love to be paid millions of dollars to do it, but hey, I'll keep doing it until that happens, and then I'll keep enjoying it.
And I know Enjoy the ride is something my dad always tells me.
I
call him and I'm like upset about money or like not getting a certain thing I want or... You know, just being frustrated about scheduling stuff. He's like, well, are you still enjoying the ride? Because that's the most important part.
It's the best part.
Because, you know, nothing's ever going to be good enough. You're always going to want an Emmy. You're always going to want an Oscar. You're always going to want your own series. You're always going to want to, you know, get more. So,
yeah. And I've always felt like everything always ends up feeling like a job unless you love it. I think that I'm sure Brad Pitt loves it to still like be an actor and like do movies and stuff. But I think even for him, you know, when you're filming like a, you know, you're making $50 on a movie, at the end of the day, you're still like, oh, I got to get up for work. Like, as long as if you can have that excited feeling for as long as possible, I like holding on to it. That's why I'm like grateful that we get to still be excited, because we're not just like, oh, fine. No. My agent's calling me, offering me a deal. I don't know if I want to go to Indonesia and film this movie. I got enough money.
No.
You know, we still get to be excited. And we will end on that.
Yay. Be excited.
This is Jacqueline Marfuji. Say your Instagram and Twitter and all your shit.
Yeah. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, just at Jacqueline Marfuji, JacquelineMarfuggi. And then on YouTube, it's at WeHo Click. That's it.
Word. And I am Rachel O'Brien. But on social media, it's Rachel N. O'Brien or Rachel Nobrien, RachelNobrien. And I am very excited to keep doing this. And I hope you will keep
listening. You should. You're so good at it.
Ah, that's sweet. All right. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.